A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 11th of April, 2021. We will be using this new book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 1. This is a very earliest transcript book. So this book is based on a direct transcript from the recording done during the Thursday class dated 12 September 2013, which is about 8 years ago. And recently, we decided to go through this book because this one actually is the basis of understanding meditation. Then I have recently gone through the book again. And I had this understanding that some of the colloquial language that we used earlier on were not so readable. So I have edited it a bit to improve the flow of language so that it become more readable. We go through, then you will understand. Okay, as usual, we will have to develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. This is the pre-class puja. Puja is to develop our faith, spiritual faculties. Then at the same time, develop affinity with the triple gem. And maintain this, what they call tradition. That the Buddha has introduced. So this is one of the good way for spiritual training. We have a combination of chanting together with salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. And after that, we also have our refuge. Then we renew our precepts. Then we rejoice. And before that, we also try to link the Mahayana tradition of puja salutation with the Theravada so that we have understanding of both traditions. Okay, so we'll start now.
Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dityampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dityampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Dityampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majjhapavadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Tripajan. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind, maintain some more attention, then we can actually proceed with the puja chanting on page 6, where we will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Diti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pacatang veditappo เวโนหิติสุปัฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆปุจจปัฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปัฏฐิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะดีตังจัตตาริปุริสยุคคานิอัตตาปุริสภูกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตักเนโยอัญจาลิกะระเนโยอนุตรังปุญญังเขตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค you can be seated.Then we will start our sharing. Huh? Today we will be using this new book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. This is the first part, part one. This particular transcript book is based on the direct transcript from the recording done during the Thursday meditation class dated 12 September 2013, conducted by me at Brother Sui An'sSubhanjaya House. Okay, then we will straight away go to the content. So this content is a very simplified format. It is what we call our traditional Thursday class format. Session one is pre-puja. This pre-puja is more elaborate where we have puja offering everything. So this one can only be done when CMCO or MCO is over, when we can gather again. Then after that, we will have the meditation briefing and instruction for meditation. Then the meditation proper. Then after that, we have the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer session. After that, we will have our closing puja. The closing puja is both in Pali and English. But ours, we just chant in Pali nowadays, easier. So I'll read to you the introduction so that you will understand. It is bred to your sincere hope that Dharma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and meditators will be able to make use of this enclosed transcript book on meditation to develop a better understanding of the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human beings.That can be a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. As these notes were compiled based on the direct transcript from the recording done, his text is aligned as closely as possible to his colloquial style of speech while delivering the talk. Hence, we hope the reader will be able to adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent better. And a good way to do itis to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript notes. This second edition, dated April 2021, which is very recent, is to help improve the flow of language, like I mentioned just now, to make the book more readable. Pending its reprinting on a later date, we for now only edit the soft copy. For those who want to listen to the recording, they can download the talk at this link. So the links are all there. Or contact the administrator of our website for further detail. Then acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this transcript notes be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamitas who had donated and helped in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes soon as possible. Okay, now we will go into the sharing. So Thursday class, dated 12 September 2013, held at Brother Sri An Subanjaya House, conducted by Brother Tio, which is myself, from 8:30 p.m. till 10:30 p.m. So understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, part 1, based on the direct transcript on the recorded talk. So this is the sharing. So session 1 is pre-puja. This is to develop the cultivation of the 5 spiritual faculties needed to counter the 5 mental hindrances. So all this puja is to develop our faith, sadha, leading to the virya. Then we stabilize the sati, leading to samadhi. Then the last spiritual faculty of panya will arise. So you listen, this is very useful. Please compose your mind to develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding how special and unique a being the Buddha is, how important his teaching is, so that your faith in the Buddha and his teaching can be firmly established until it is unshakable. So this is to develop the sadha or faith or confidence, spiritual faculty and the virya. When this happens, your confidence in the Buddha and his teaching will make your mind very calm and very composed. This faith will drive you to cultivate the next spiritual faculty, which is virya or spiritual zeal, that is needed for you to cultivate his teaching diligently, thereby enabling you to understand and assimilate what he has shared much more easily. Once the sadha and virya are established, we will pay respect mindfully to the Buddha to cultivate the 3rd spiritual faculty of sati or mindfulness, and then we will start the pre-puja chanting. So as usual, salutation to Lord Buddha, Namo Tassa Bhagavato, which we have done, then taking of the 3 refuges, we have also done, then taking of the 5 precepts, then we rejoice. Then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha to end the pre-puja. All this we have done. Now we go to 3.2. Okay, meditation, breathing, and instruction for meditation. This one you have to listen attentively because it was given in the early days, but at that time, I think most of you do not have the clear understanding. That's why I want to go through this transcript now so that you can make full use of it. For those who already have the understanding, it's like a very good revision for you. But for those who are still not able to grasp it, you listen attentively and it will help you. So this will help new people too. Who wants to understand meditation? Okay. So when I start, I say, okay, just relax yourself and maintain some form of attention. When you are attentive without thought means you are mindful. Then we will start the meditation class. A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight, my nature rejoices because I received some very good written questions. These questions are also truly relevant, so we will go through it or go through them before we start the meditation. You all must listen attentively because this is a very good question. That is why I always say you all must ask. Otherwise, there is no condition to know where you all are stuck. With this question, I will know which are the relevant essential Dhamma that you all need me to elaborate on to develop the understanding. The first question, hello, Brother Teo. When we do body sweeping, is it just a thought or an actual feeling? So that was the question, huh? And I answered. Do you understand the question? Reflect properly. He used the word body sweeping. Did I ever say body sweeping? What did I teach you? I teach you my sweeping method, right? It is okay, at least he asked. And I can help clarify, which means he asked a truly relevant question. Then he asked, is it just a thought or an actual feeling? So what do you think? Ah, yes. Somebody answered. I said, yes. I always say it is to decondition the heedless thinking. That is, no more thought, no more thinking. You just feel. Feel and relax. But he asked a very relevant, important question because he is like most of you, cannot understand what has been shared. Huh? He then asked, what do you mean by feel? When I see it, he said, the thought went out. Hence, it's still a thought, isn't it? I then say, are you sure it's a thought? To you, it's still a thought because you do not understand and you think a lot. And because you think a lot, you are heedless. When you are heedless, that's the reason why you think a lot. And that's also the reason why you think it's still a thought. When I say you feel, what does it mean? I will teach you now. You just feel your body, hot or cold. You just put your hand on your body and silence your mind to just feel. Then what happened? Feel the sensation. Can you understand? Or just put your hand on the concrete floor or tile floor. The moment that pure sensation or feeling before the perception is there, there is no thought, right? But the trouble is, the moment you see your hand, thought arises. Do you understand? Then the moment before you can feel, you already started thinking. Can you be aware of that movement? That is where the problem is. So what you need to do is to experience that pure feeling with a silent mind without thought. Pay attention to this. When you feel, you just feel. Using the silent mind without thought. That sensation, no word, no concept, just feel. That is your true mind before the arising of thought. Then I move on. What it means is when you feel something, whether it's hot or cold, let's say you go and touch somewhere which is cold, like the floor or the floor mat, that pure feeling is there. So when you say you feel, it means you actually send your hand down there to make contact with the floor. Then you send your silent mind in awareness to the contact to feel. That's how you feel. That's how the mind feels. The body cannot feel or sweep. Do you understand? Only the mind can feel and sweep through the body. We are feeling and relaxing at the location you place your mind. So the mind can go to wherever you want it to be. which means you can train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be at the forehead. You want it to be at the facial muscle, it will be at the facial muscle. That is why you start the mind sweeping method by going to the forehead first. And you must have something for the mind to do. Otherwise, this mind will keep on heedlessly wanders off, making you lost in thought. That is the reason why when you do anapanasati, within split second, the awareness of the in and out breath is gone. Split second is gone. You are lost in thought again. This is the reason why you must train this heedless thinking mind. To train your mind to be at the location you want it to be, you must at the same time let the mind do something. Otherwise, it will heedlessly wander off. So we need to come out with a skillful means for the mind to do something. That is why we ask the mind to just feel and do not think. So this is very important. Just feel silent. Do not think. What do you want the mind to feel? Let us say at the forehead. What are you feeling? Ah, yes. If there is any tension, tightness, or stress within. So you look for all this. When you feel them, you just relax into them. And these three words, tension, tightness, and stress within, are easy to understand, isn't it? When you are having a headache, there's a lot of tension. But when you have problem, you worry a lot. There is stress and tension inside your brain or head. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, all this, you will feel it. Do you understand? Your emotion and fear are in your heart, whereas thinking always arises in your forehead. So be mindful and see this clearly. All of your feeling, your emotion, your mind states, they happen at the heart area, where this is where the feeling body is. Whereas thinking respond to memory, the thought is always at the forehead. So this one you have to find out yourself. Because the forehead is the place where thought arises via response to memory. And the heart is the place where you feel the emotion arising. And they are related, because when you think of fearful thing, an unhappy thing, or things associated with problem, it will condition your fear, worry, anxiety, etc. Then it will make you stressful. That is how you can get into trouble while living life. And this is only the theory part. But to really understand it, you must meditate and do the cultivation or practice. That is the reason why I want you to feel. When you really feel, you will come to realize that after a tired and stressful day at the office, or after you have done your household chores as a housewife, you are not relaxed and not peaceful, because there are still quite a lot of unresolved matter going on in your head bothering you. These so-called unresolved problems of life are still creating stress and tension for you. That is the reason why you find it so difficult to relax. So in a way, this meditation can allow you to de-stress and unwind yourself to recuperate and have more moments of silent mind to really relax your body and mind. It's as if you are gone for a facial or to a spa. You just let everything down, relax, and let them do the massage to unwind you. Then how do you feel? You feel very good, isn't it? Because you can relax. All those stress and tension will be gone. And you can just doze off yet you are very relaxing and peaceful. But during meditation, you need to also maintain awareness. Do you understand? That is the big difference. So it is more than just to relax and doze off. If you just only do that, then you may not develop any awareness at all. Meditation is to develop this awareness or mindfulness leading to heedfulness, so that you can be mindful or aware of what is going on, to investigate into life, to develop the understanding, to understand how thoughts and consciousness come to be, and how your thoughts condition you into various mind state and emotion. Then you will start to understand how your mundane mind function following the nature's law, which is called citta niyama. Citta is mind. So you develop the understanding of how your mind function following the dependent origination. The dependent origination, the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma, all this you will start to see them when you have mindfulness. That is why mindfulness is particularly important. To be mindful, you need to be aware and feel without the thought. So always remember that, huh? When thought is there, you are heedless, you are no longer aware or mindful. That is why the mind, Supreme Matter, is extremely useful. Okay, so with that understanding, we can start the meditation now. Always remember, meditation has two parts. First part is just to train the mind to be aware, to be mindful without thought. So how do we train this mundane mind? We use a skillful means called mind sweeping method, which I've already explained. So you do that first, if you still need to. Otherwise, you can start your meditation straight away. Okay, sorry, there is somebody new to the class, as informed by Brother Suyan. Then I asked this new person, you meditate before? I think he must have said yes. Then I said, good, what kind of meditation? What about metta or loving kindness? You have done it before? Then what about mind supreme method? Are you familiar? Okay. Afterwards, I will give you the necessary instruction to help you decondition your heedless thinking, thereby training your mind to be in a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. So, meditation start, and my instruction is, close your eyes, relax your body and mind, and then ensure that your backbone is straight. Then you feel your forehead, and don't think. Just feel and relax. Any tension, tightness, or stress within, just relax them all. You may start doing this mind sweeping method training from your forehead down to your buttock, so that you can become more peaceful. Then I need to let you know one more thing, because you are new. Please look at the whiteboard. There are this spelling mistake, A-R-E. There are these five aggregate of form and mind. Oh, sorry. Five mental hindrance. And the five spiritual faculties. According to the Buddha, the reason why human beings are not able to be peaceful or develop the meditation is because of these five mental hindrance. Of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. Do you know what these mental hindrances are? They are negative mind state that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner silent, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, silent inner awareness. It means this untrained mundane mind has the mental hindrance that hinders it from becoming peaceful. What are they? They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. These five things are basically common sense mind states, but the Buddha identified them for you, otherwise you may not know what is going on. The first two mental hindrances have something to do with your senses. First one is positive craving or sensual desire. When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel something, you tend to react and stir your mind. Do you understand? Whether you like that sense experience or you don't like the sense experience. So if you like it, then you develop sensual desire for it. And you don't like it, you develop the dislike or aversion, like envy and jealousy towards it. So these are basically positive and negative reaction of mind conditioned by your wrong view. The Buddha said your mind tend to oscillate between like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences. So when you keep on doing that, what happens? It becomes a habit, right? So habitual tendency will be developed to condition you into heedlessness during every moment of your sense experience while living your life. Whether you are seeing something or thinking or hearing something, you think a lot because of your habitual tendencies to sense experience. You keep on reacting to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. And because of that, this mind becomes so habitual with all the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences. This habitual reaction will cause you to be heedless, which means you cannot pay attention to life. And you are not able to see things as they are because you are preoccupied with your heedless thinking, your reaction to sense experience. Because of your constant stirring of your mind via your reaction of to sense experience, you are heedless in that sense. So meditation is to understand that this heedless way of living must stop. Otherwise, you will continue to be heedless because there is no equanimity in you. Equanimity means the mind that is not distracted, the mind that is calm, unwavering, collected, and peaceful. So when you have samadhi, the stability of mind to stay collected and unwavering will be there. And then whatever you see, whether you hear and think, your mind will not stir, your mind will not waver. Ah, samadhi. That is a spiritual faculty. That is not a mental hindrance. That is why you have to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty which are written on the right-hand side of the whiteboard. They are Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These are Pali words. Sadda is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. When you are confident, your mind will have no restlessness. Restlessness is the fourth mental hindrance. The mind becomes restless because when you have problems, you tend to worry about them. Hence, triggering of fear, worry, and anxiety, which will make you restless. Hope you understand. Then you are not calm anymore, not composed, because you have a problem. You have a situation which you do not know how to resolve. So these are the mental hindrances. The third hindrance is sleepiness or sloth and torpor. When you want to do something but you do not see the importance of it, you become sleepy. And when you are sleepy, you cannot understand anything. It's just like studying. When you are sleepy, you cannot study. You go to a class or lecture and you do not like the subject. What happened? You feel so sleepy. You totally cannot understand what is being taught. So meditation is the same. When you have sleepiness, it's a hindrance to understanding. It's a hindrance to the development of meditation. So these are the first four types of mental hindrance that will hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and awareness. Then the last one is doubt. When you do not understand what is going on and you are not sure why your life is like that, and how come you can be like that. which means you do not even know that the mental hindrances are the one that are responsible for your lack of peace. So these five mental hindrances are very real. The Buddha said these are the ones that cause you to be heedless. Hence, you must train your mind to develop the opposite five spiritual faculties to overcome the mental hindrance in order to develop the meditation. The first spiritual faculty is Sadda, which we had developed via our pre-puja just now. We had developed the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. We are understanding how special and unique the Buddha is. Since the Buddha is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue, we can say he was the wisest and most virtuous living being ever to be born during his era. To have such a great being as our refuge come teacher is indeed an honor for us to develop our great respect and gratitude towards the Buddha, leading to the very strong faith in him. Then Virya, which is the second spiritual faculty, will arise after we have understood how wonderful and important his teaching is. This Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate the teaching. Then we develop the third spiritual faculties, which is Sati. Sati is mindfulness or awareness before the knowing. Pay attention to this word. Sati is mindfulness, or mindfulness is an awareness before the knowing. It's the awareness nature before the knowing, before the thinking, before the arising of thought or the aggregates of mind. You just silence your mind and maintain awareness. Like when you pay respect to Lord Buddha, I say do it mindfully. What does it mean? It means body and mind move as one without thought. That is mindfulness. Means the two in harmony, perfect synchrony. So when you want to train your mind to be in sati, your heedless thinking must stop. To achieve that, you can make use of the mind sweeping method to do it. That is, you just feel and relax, no more thinking. And you keep on training your mind this way until your mind becomes more and more peaceful naturally. Then after a while, your mind will become calmer and more conducive for you to start the meditation. The sati can also be trained using other techniques or methods or skillful means. Some practitioners use chanting, some use object of meditation, and some use an appropriate skillful mean that is suitable for them, because everyone is different. So what we normally do is, while doing the mind sweeping method, I will combine it with loving kindness or metta. So that your mind will become more composed, peaceful and calm. Then only you train your mind to stabilize the mindfulness. The mindfulness need to be stabilized, otherwise you cannot use it because it is too weak and not stable enough. If you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. When in samadhi, the mind becomes collected and unwavering. So the question is, how can we stabilize the awareness nature? That is why the Buddha advised the bhikkhu to do anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, to stabilize the mindfulness. And because our breath is always with us and within the moment, so if we can silence our mind to be aware of only this in and out breath without thought, you will be with the moment in sati, means present moment awareness. And you can become very peaceful and calm amazingly fast, because there is no thought, hence no fear, worry, and anxiety. Instead, there is just inner peace, inner well-being, silence, and stillness of mind, leading to all the piti, sukhang, and paucity. Then your mindfulness will stabilize to become samadhi. You must train it until you are so skillful with it, until you do not need to depend on the object of meditation to become peaceful, which means you do not need to breathe. Sorry, you do not need the breath to anchor your sati anymore. You can become peaceful on your own because your mind is already in sati or established in sati and samadhi. This spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi are very important. Just when you have sati and samadhi, the fifth spiritual faculty, which is panya or wisdom, will come to be via your ability to see things as they are. So the first part of meditation is just to cultivate and develop the spiritual faculties. And then after your mind has developed all the five spiritual faculties, there is no more mental hindrance. Then you will be able to meditate very easily and very naturally, because without the mental hindrance, there is nothing to hinder your mind. Yeah? That silent mind in sati is the meditative mind. The meditative mind can understand things amazingly fast. Then the second part is to use the mind with the spiritual faculties to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. And the Noble Eightfold Path includes the four foundations of mindfulness and all the rest of the other essential Dhamma. So that is the gist of it. Now I will off the light and I will give you all the appropriate instruction to develop the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. So 3.3, meditation proper. So that is how you develop the understanding of meditation. Then that day, I managed to give them a lot of very good instruction. That's why I make use of that Thursday class as a very good format for developing the understanding. That's how the transcript book came about. Okay, relax your body and mind. Make sure you have a very stable posture. If you have problem crossing your leg, you can just lean against the wall or sit on a couch and relax. You don't have to cross your leg. Make sure your posture is stable and your backbone, if possible, make sure it's quite straight and not slow. Then close your eyes. Relax body and mind completely. Completely relax them. Then you just feel your forehead and do not think. If you can detect any tightness, any tension or any stress with it, you just silently relax every part of it to release them. Feel your forehead soothingly relax. Relax them all. Then you move your attention to your eye muscle. Again, just feel and do not think. Normally after a tired day, the eye muscles are quite tense. So just feel and relax all of this eye muscle. Then you can feel your eyes soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. For the first time, feel the facial muscle. Do not think, just feel. Feel every part of it. You will come to realize that most of the time, it is not relaxed. And you have a lot of tension and tightness on your face. Because if you are truly relaxing, you feel peace. Then try to radiate a radiant smile. And you will have joy and inner well-being in your heart. A happy mind is a relaxed mind. But when you have problem, tension, stress, and worry will build up. When you are having a situation that worries you, then you will be affected and there will be stress within your facial expression. This unhappiness will be reflected on your facial muscle reason. You need to relax both body and mind. If you still find it not easy to relax, then you can radiate metta or loving kindness to help you relax. Radiating metta is an incredibly good way to ensure, to enable you to have joy, to relax your facial muscle. You just visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Just visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile. Then your facial muscle will relax on its own naturally. Because when you can smile, it means you are happy. You have joy. And because of that, you are naturally relaxed. Otherwise, you cannot read it or read it small. So that is how your facial muscle can be very relaxed. Then after that, you can start radiating loving kindness to yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel your entire body and mind. That is your entire being having this well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Then you can repeat it a few more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, feel your body, each and every cell of it relaxing and having this well-being and happiness. After that, you can continue to radiate. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You must arise the feeling to feel that you are physically and mentally not having any more suffering. Then you continue. May to be free from all harm and danger. May all my mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May my mind be happy and peaceful always. May to be free from all fear, worry, anxiety and negativity. Then you can continue to read it. May my heart too be calm and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, may there be peace deep within my heart. Then you can read it to your loved ones, like your parents, your spouse, your children, your good friends and your brothers and sisters, or someone very close to you, and wish them well-being and happiness too. You must read it from your heart instead of parroting. You can visualize them radiating a radiant smile too. Then you direct your metta to them by reciting, may my loved ones to be well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then you can relate to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Brother Suyan and Mifong's house and all of Kayamita or Dharma friends, co-cultivator, etc. May they all too be well and happy. And may they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to all sentient beings. May all sentient beings within the vicinity of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, and our solar system, then all beings within our galaxy, Milky Way, and finally all beings within the entire existence, the whole universe. May they all too be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your heart and radiate to all. Then may they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can come back to your facial muscle. By now, you should be calmer and more composed. Then you feel and relax every part of your facial muscle. Now it will be easier for you to feel it, like you are completely relaxed with a lot of joy. Then you feel your neck and relax. Feel your shoulder and relax. Back to neck. Relax every part. Then you move your attention to your heart or chest area. This is an important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat is. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your life force arises and passes away. So you just silence your mind and feel, don't think. Feel around your heart area. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence your mind and maintain awareness to feel it. For those who are new, if you have not trained your mindfulness, you will not have such ability. Then you just relax and feel. No need to do anything. Just like you feel your forehead. You just feel your heart area. Then continue to relax. Just feel and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your mental attention down to your stomach area. Do the same. Just feel and relax. No more thinking. Just feel and relax. Then you sweep down to your abdomen again. You just feel and relax. Then you feel, you just send the mind there and silence everything and let it feel. Do not go and look for it. Just feel around the abdomen area. Just silence your mind to feel. It is as if you send your mind to the hand that feels the floor or floor mat. It will feel and detect it. So just silence your mind and you will detect the abdomen rising and falling. If you do just that, just aware to feel without the thought, then mindfulness will come. Then you can also feel your buttock and relax. Then your leg, do the same, relax. Just feel and relax. It will decondition your heedless thinking and make you very calm and peaceful. Then you can reverse the whole cycle from leg, feel and relax, buttock, feel and relax. Then you go to the abdomen, feel and relax, stomach, feel and relax, your heart, your chest area, just silent and feel and relax everything. Then shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, just feel and relax. Then your neck, facial muscle and your eye muscle again, feel and relax. And back to your forehead. By now, you would have completed one complete cycle of the mind sweeping method training. Now you can proceed to stabilize this sati that you have developed via anapanasati. Okay? So what is anapanasati? Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. The word anapana means in and out breath. The sati is mindfulness. Sorry, and sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. And it is quite simple. Like you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing. You just maintain awareness or attention in front of your nostril. Then you just silence your mind, allow your breathing to go on naturally. Then as you detect the breathing via your mind or awareness, you just allow the mind or the awareness to follow this breathing. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, it is aware. Breathing out, it is aware. But for those who are new, if you are not trained, within split second, the mindfulness will be lost. It will just wander off. Then you become heedless extremely fast. You will find that you are hardly aware. But don't worry, be patient. Every time it wanders off, you just silence your mind and patiently bring the awareness back to the breathing. You just maintain attention at the breath location and just feel. If you are patient enough, your sati will stabilize and your anapanasati will develop. It's easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. If you patiently and continuously train this way, then sooner or later, mindfulness of the in and out breath will happen by itself naturally without thought. Initially, it's like within split second is gone, split second is gone. Then after a while, the mental hindrance will come and disturb you, like sleepiness, restlessness, sensual desire, and doubt. But don't worry. You can patiently train your mind by being silently aware without any reaction of mind. Via right view, then sooner or later you will come to understand that you already have more and more moments of mindfulness and you are no longer so easily distracted like before. As it stabilizes, there will be a point in time when suddenly you will come to realize that you have become very calm and very peaceful. You had developed the initial calmness leading to the spiritual calmness called piti. Piti is a type of spiritual joy or spiritual rapture that can arise when the mind is trained in mindfulness or awareness. When the mind is in sati, it is just aware without thought. Then you continue to relax and allow anapanasati to develop, you will become more and more calm, more and more peaceful, and your mind will become more and more tranquil. Later, this piti will stabilize until you just like to meditate. Then you continue to relax, just aware and silent. The piti will become sukhang or bliss. Sukhang is a more refined state of piti. When mind becomes so subtle and so refined, it will accumulate into bliss. It is a very blissful feeling. You will feel so good and you will like to meditate because it is a very beautiful spiritual mind state. But the only danger is many meditators get attached to this bliss or sukhang. They get absorbed into it and they keep on looking for it to be repeated because it is so blissful. That is how they get stuck and then they don't progress anymore. Because like any good food, after you have experienced tasting it many times, it is no longer special. That is the reason why later you will start to develop the restlessness, doubt, and unhappiness again. So what you should do when you come across this sukhang, experience it, especially you are having it for the first time, just to understand its characteristics and nature, so that you will not deludedly cling on to it. Then you should just allow it to be and continue to relax into it and allow this sukhang to continue to become more and more refined. After a while, this sukhang will transform and the mind will become incredibly quiet, very peaceful and very tranquil. And then you will enter what they call the mind state of paucity. Paucity is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind without thought. When you reach that state, you will come to realize that all objects of meditation, whether it's your breathing or anapanasati or rising and falling of the abdomen, will become very subtle until it is like no more breathing, like you cannot detect it anymore. Even the rising and falling of the abdomen, like you cannot detect it anymore. Everything has become so subtle. When this happens, don't panic. You should just silence your mind and continue to just relax further and allow it to be. If you do it long enough until this paucity stabilizes, then you will come to realize that even the very refined breathing will start to become prominent again. Your more refined sati will have the ability to detect the subtle breathing again, which means the mind has developed the higher or more refined state of mindfulness. It can be mindful of all the subtle movement. Then you will come to realize wherever you locate your mind or place your mind, you will be able to detect all the very fine vibration and movements there, as if it has become extremely sensitive. This mind that has entered sati naturally can be at any location you want it to be, and you can also feel clearly whatever that is happening within, all the movement, the vibration. You can even detect your own heartbeat without the stethoscope. Then everything is like has become magnified, slowed down, and very clear. And this is your true mind, the meditative mind, the silent mind, the still, tranquil mind in paucity that can develop the understanding of meditation, that can understand how sense door consciousness arise and pass away. It can also be at the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away. It can see all the characteristics of nature within every phenomena that arises and pass away. It can even be at the moment of feeling, moment of perception, activity of mind and consciousness. That's why that silent mind is very different. It is a free mind in sati, arising naturally. And that is samadhi, born of a free mind. So you just need to train your mind until it's very stable. Then all this, you will start to understand because you will experience them. And then all the Buddha's essential teaching, you will start to witness them within your own form and mind. You only need to silence your mind. Okay, I will let you continue with your meditation on your own, and I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes. Then we can start the second session. Okay, so that was the instruction. Then session 2, reporting of meditation. Okay, we stop here. So that you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So as usual, follow the instruction I given you earlier on. You need to do the mind-sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, you do. If your spiritual faculty are already there, you can go into the meditation straight away. So the main purpose of meditation is to establish stability of sati, to develop sati, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to meditate. That's what you need. If you understand this as your focus, then you will know what you are doing in the name of meditation. Then meditation becomes very easy. So before we continue, I read to you one recording, the feedback from the chat group from Susan, Susan Tay, I think Klang, Susan, to everyone. The message is, thank you, Brother Teo, for repeating the teaching and meditation guidance. This is very beneficial to recollect, even though we have been practicing all along. Sadhu, Brother Teo. And then she said she got to leave. So you have any message, you can type it on the chat group too. If you got any question, you can also do the same. So now we can continue a bit more before we have the Q&A. Okay, we go to the transcript, reporting of meditation. Okay, second section. So you can follow this guideline. So I will read to you 4.1, reporting of meditation. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. And for those who have enough, you can slowly and mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed. For those who have stabilized their sati, they will have to make use of this trained mind that is in sati to cultivate the daily mindfulness in daily life. That is to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And when you combine sati or mindfulness with the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, it becomes heedfulness or apamada. So that's how you develop it. The Buddha's advice before his passing away is apamadena sampadeta, that is to strive on with heedfulness and nothing else, which means to train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by him, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. If you do that, you are destined for enlightenment. So this is a very important understanding and focus. So you understood the deep meaning of his advice, you will come to understand that you only need to train your mind to be heedful. Then enlightenment in the here and the now is guaranteed. So technically, it is not so difficult. But when you start to do it, it's a totally different thing, depending on your past cultivation. If you have your past cultivation to support you, then this life is quite easy, and you can progress very fast. You can also understand amazingly fast, and there is an enhanced probability of realizing the enlightenment in the here and now in this era. Okay. Now we come to the second part, which is reporting of meditation, followed by Q&A, question and answer. If you have any meditative experience or problem, you can report them. And after that, you can ask any question that are related to the meditation or to the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching, and how you can apply what you had learned here and the teaching to help you understand life, so that you can overcome all your life problem and situation. So now we will start off with the reporting of meditation. Anybody wants to report their meditation? So the usual silence is very obvious. Then I say, nobody. Okay. Luckily tonight we have some written question already given. I will go through the written question, which are quite relevant. Okay, this one, the question goes like that. When I'm in total relaxed mind during meditation, I always feel a huge vacuum. And after a while, I will doze off and feeling like falling off. Thank you. That was the question. So he just stopped with the word thanks. Then I asked that person, so what is your question? Then I think, I don't know, I forgot whether it was a he or a she. They tried to answer me in certain manner. I said, no. This description of your question is okay, but do you have any question? This is what you have described. And is it that you want to ask something? Or you want to ask, is this right or wrong? Then somebody laugh. Haha. So that is the question. Okay. Then I answered the person who asked that question. I said, okay. You see, the problem with meditation is, do not try to ask, is this right or wrong? Initially, you can do that because it is not easy to understand. But after a while, it is not advisable. Because when you start to ask whether what you are doing is right or wrong, what does it mean? Means you are seeking an answer to the question that you do not understand. Which means you yourself do not want to investigate and find out. That is, you yourself do not want to develop the understanding. You just want people to tell you the answer, what to do, and then believe the answer, and you try to apply that answer in your meditation. That is where a lot of meditator gets caught. Do you understand? That is the reason why a lot of those so-called cultivators cannot really develop the understanding themselves, because after the question, and after I had answered, they were asked again. So, Brother Teo, what must I do? You just want an answer because you just want people to teach you what to do. How can you develop your meditation this way? I always reminded you all, an important essence of cultivation is to develop the understanding of what is meditation. That is, you must meditate with understanding. Can you remember? That is how you get yourself back on track. Otherwise, if you continue to do this, you will find that it is rather difficult for you to progress in your meditation. And the Buddha said, do not believe even what he said. Whatever he shared with you or explained to you or proclaimed to you, you must investigate into it, just like what he told the Kalamas in the Kalama Sutta. You must find out and develop the understanding first. Then you will know what to do. Otherwise, it is not your own understanding. You only think you know because the teacher said so or somebody said so. Then you gullibly follow instruction and do without understanding. When people ask you why you do that, you will answer, Brother Theo says so, or the Buddha says so. It means you do not understand. So it is difficult for you to develop the progress. For when you do without understanding, you become gullible because you just follow instruction. So what is important is no need to know whether it's right or wrong. Just ask yourself a basic question and go back to the fundamentals and inquire, why am I here? To develop the meditation, you must do with understanding. And to do with understanding, you must understand what is meditation. But the way you ask this question shows very clearly you are curious about this state of mind. And you want to know whether it's right or wrong. It means your focus is not the understanding of what you are doing in the name of meditation. Then I say, I think somebody responded. I say, most people are caught in this situation. Sometimes they have very fantastic or unique meditative experience and they want to know, is this something related to progress or something that they can feel incredibly happy or proud of, or whether it's right or wrong. So when you start to have that type of focus or wrong focus, it means you do not understand why you are sitting here. Why are you here? You do not understand the purpose of you coming to this meditation, means the purpose of your cultivation here. And you do not understand what meditation is. So you need to come back to the clear understanding of meditation. That is what is meditation. So that when you sit here and do, you know what you are doing in the name of meditation. Remember, I always reminded you all that meditation has two parts. First part is to train your mind to be aware and heedful. So the first inquiry or question should be, are you training your mind to be aware and heedful? If you are not training your mind to be aware and heedful, then what are you doing? Second part is, after you have trained your mind in sati, you must stabilize it. Do remember this. Mindfulness training first, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then no more question, isn't it? But your way of questioning indicates that you are not sure of what is going on, right? And you want an answer. But no amount of answer will be relevant. And if I'm also gullible and just answer you, then you will take my answer and say, Brother Theo said so. Then what will happen? You do not learn. And you do not know what you are doing. That is why I must explain this to you all first. I can explain this based on my experience and what I observe and understand from my years of teaching and sharing. And sometimes certain things that you experience may be unique to you and different from others. But everyone is unique and different. And it has something to do with your past cultivation. It has something to do with your condition you are now in this world. And there are other conditions that can lead to all this. So whatever I explain is based on my understanding, but because of my understanding, I can explain to you what are the probable causes or causes of this experience, of this mind state, etc. But this is not the meditation. Can you understand? This is just to allow you to understand what has gone on. Sometimes this type of description is good because it can bring about some condition for me to tell you about your probable past cultivation. Because certain type of experiences does not just come by itself for no apparent reason. Which means when you have certain type of experience, it's okay for you to ask. But you must understand why you ask. You ask because you already know what meditation is. Then it's okay. And when something arises, well, you try to train your mind during meditation, then it becomes relevant. So I do not want you to be caught in the first instant where everything you are curious of, you just want to ask because you want an answer. Then it defeats the purpose and you do not progress. You will get stuck. So with this understanding, I can go on. I can go into your question. So your question is, when I am in a total relaxed state, means according to you or according to him, he is totally relaxed. It means he does not have a problem. No stress, no worry, no tension. The mind is peaceful and relaxed during meditation. Then what happened? He then say he always feel a huge vacuum. And after a while, he will doze off. A feeling like falling off. So this is what is being described through his experience. So when you have a mind that is relaxed and you doze off, what does it mean? You can let me know. You all experienced this before, isn't it? Let's say after a tired day, you go home. You go back home, have a nice bath and relax. Then what happened? You feel sleepy, isn't it? That's why you doze off. When you say you are totally relaxed, you are like blank. Blank means what? Going into the unconscious. And you sleep without awareness. And this is something that is quite normal, isn't it? But if you understand what meditation is, this thing cannot happen or will not happen. But this is top and topper coming in already, leading to sleepiness, and it's a mental hindrance. It's just like you do not know what your focus is. You do not know why you are trying to develop this meditation. And you do not know the purpose of training this mind to be aware. So you lost that focus. You lost that understanding of why you are sitting here to develop. You are here to train your mind so that the training part is not there. Okay. Then the stabilizing of that mind that is already trained is also not there. And then you start to experience something. Then this something distract you and take you into that state like a huge vacuum, then blank. And you doze off, like falling off. All this description will come. So the question is, you have to bring back to focus this inquiry. That is when you are sitting, you ask yourself, what am I doing? Am I training my mind? This is the first inquiry. If I am not training my mind, what must I do? Go back and train your mind, right? Because meditation is not about relax and becoming peaceful only. Do you understand? Most people like to do that because it is something that makes them feel good. It makes you relax and peaceful. And a lot of people find it particularly good and important to be able to experience this state of relaxation with inner peace. With inner peace. Inner peace is one of the byproducts of meditation. When your mind develops inner peace, it will have inner well-being too. For a peaceful mind is a relaxed mind, and this relaxed state of peace is without fear, worry, and anxiety. It's very soothing and very calming. That is why there is inner well-being and you feel good, as opposed to when you are restless, fearful, with a lot of anxiety, worry, tension, and stress. These are negative mind states. So to develop the meditation through training the mind to be aware or mindful will lead the mind to inner peace and inner well-being. Because when you start to relax and without thought, then the peace will come. But when that peace comes, you forgot about your focus. Your focus is what? To develop the training of the mind to be aware and mindful, right? If you have recall or remember this focus, then you will know what to do. Then you will relax and maintain awareness. maintain awareness to anapanasati or mindfulness or awareness by having an object of meditation that can help you or make you mindful via anchoring your awareness to it. Then maintain awareness to stabilize it. That's it. What you are supposed to do, that is what you are supposed to do. Not asking me, is this right or wrong? And what must I do? That's why I want you to understand, and then you will know what to do. That is precisely what meditation is all about. That is what precisely meditation is all about. Actually, it should be, that is precisely what meditation is all about. Then you reverse this to what? That is what? Oh, correct. That is what precisely meditation is all about. Correct. Leave it. If you understand, then no more question. And you will know what to do. It's like, I now tell you the reverse. Whatever question you have, if it's nothing related to training the mind to be aware and stabilizing it to be mindful and use it to meditate, then all these are the wrong questions. Don't ask them. Just do it. Investigate or find out for yourself the truth. Which means your sole purpose and intent is to understand that your mind is heedless because of the five mental hindrances. Then you should inquire, how can I train this heedless thinking mind or mundane mind to make it heedful? We are cultivating the five spiritual faculty of mind, right? Then are my five spiritual faculties developed? If not, I will develop it. Then I will have sadha virya leading to sati or mindfulness. And this is how you should train your mind to be mindful. Then after it's mindful, you only need to stabilize it for it to become samadhi. Then when I have sati and samadhi, I will have clarity of mind because no thought. And I will be able to see things as they are. And wisdom will arise. When I have all these five spiritual faculty, then all the five opposite mental hindrance will go. Take for example, sadha or faith. When you are greatly confident, very composed and calm, and you have strong faith in the Buddha and his teaching, you will have no more doubt. The last mental hindrance, which is doubt, is no more. Then when your mind is confident, very composed, there is also no restlessness. When there is samadhi, the mind is also not disturbed, because this mind that has samadhi is unwavering and collected. Hence, sensual desire and ill will also cannot come in. The word ill will is missing. Ill will. And when there is sati and or mindfulness, there is no thought, because sati is just awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought. No thought means what? It means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, and no restlessness. Of course, when you have the last spiritual faculty, which is wisdom or panya, then all the five mental hindrances will be gone because of your understanding. Then the sloth and torpor, this one, you can overcome it if you have virya and your faith is very strong. When you are full of confidence, that confidence will drive you to develop the spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate. So how can you be sleeping? And also because you see the importance of cultivating this meditation, and you also see the importance of realizing this Dhamma, so that suffering need not be, so that your life can be taken care of, so that you don't have to go through life the way other people go through, or the heedless go through, so that you don't entangle with life anymore. So that all suffering related to delusion, heedlessness, and ignorance will not arise in you anymore. So the spiritual faculty will take care of the mental hindrance. And with the five spiritual faculty developed, You do not need to know how to meditate. You will know how to meditate because this is the meditative mind that is perfect. When your faith or sadha, virya, sati, and samadhi are very stable, panya will arise and you will keep on understanding things. Wisdom or panya will keep on arising because that is the meditative mind. So that's why when you use this meditative mind to cultivate noble eightfold path, you will understand what right view is, especially right view with regards to the law of the nature's law that governs all of life and existence. And the Buddha has described three spiritual laws that he termed as right view. They are the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of mind, citta niyama, and the order of dhamma, dhamma niyama. These three great spiritual laws govern all of life and existence. And you understand them, you will understand life, and you will know how to live life. When you have right view cultivated, you will know how to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the four right efforts to purify your thought. All this arises when there is right understanding with regards to this law of karma. The law of karma says you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. If karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? You must take care of karma, right? If you take care of karma, to take care of karma means you must follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and do good. Otherwise, how can you take care of karma? Then how to avoid all evil? What is the Buddha's advice? Yes, keep your five precepts. Apart from keeping your five precepts, you must also train your mind to be heedful or ever mindful and aware. Otherwise, you cannot see your own mental intention behind your action, speech, and thought process, which will become karmic. So when you have mindfulness, you can see your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought. The Noble Eightfold Path will then fall into place. That is how right view can lead to right thought, right speech, and right action, etc. Then the way you live your life will be in accordance with this right view or right understanding, leading to right livelihood. Then you cultivate the four right effort to purify your actions, speech, and thought processes. Whenever wrong thought arises, you must arise the right effort to abandon it. Similarly, for wrong action and wrong speech, including wrong livelihood, you also do the same. That is right effort to abandon them all. Then you also cultivate the right effort to prevent all those wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood from arising. Then you develop the last two right effort, which leads to wholesomeness of mind state or wholesome mind states. The right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you. The right action and right speech and right livelihood that are still not in you. The last one is the right effort to refine upon the right thought and perfect whatever wholesomeness or goodness that are already in you. You develop all this to arise the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation to transform yourself personality-wise and character-wise for the better. You will then be completely transformed to become a noble being. A noble being is an enlightened being who is very noble in their understanding of life, very noble in the way they conduct themselves. Through their noble actions, speech, and thought process, they are very noble in the way they live their life, very noble in the way they interact with people. They have love, wisdom, and compassion. Hence, they are incapable of negativity. That is why everything they do, there is no negativity. They are all right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, born of right understanding. That is how Noble Eightfold Path can free you. Then when you understand how your mind functions and work through having right view with regards to the second spiritual law, which is citta niyama, your wisdom will arise, especially so when you see how your mind arises and passes away, following the law of dependent origination, the dwelling of paticca-samuppada, as taught by the Buddha. Then you will start to understand that every phenomenon that arises and passes away have the universal characteristics of impermanence. If you grasp and cling onto it deludedly, suffering will be the result. Since dependent on condition, they arise, and when conditions cease to be, they pass away. Hence, all these phenomena are all condition arising causal phenomena that are impermanent. This hymen should be taken over. And because of that, there is no permanent unchanging entity within all these phenomena that we can call, this is me, this is I, and all this can be mine. Hence, it is all non-self and empty, leading to the penetrative understanding of the anatta universal characteristic. When you start to see this happening within your own form and mind and within all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, then you will come to realize that that everything is just the way it is. That is, there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity that we can call a soul or a me or an I inside. Then your delusion or sacrality will be no more. Once you can root out that, you like suddenly wake up. Excuse me. No more delusion, and you will no longer be deluded by your five aggregates of form and mind that deludes you into believing that the feeling is you, the body is you, the mind is you, and that there is a thinker behind the thought. There is a person who thinks, who feels, who perceives, and who arises the consciousness. All this delusion will dissolve. Then there is this mind that is liberated. That is how you become enlightened. That is how you are no longer gullible. You are no longer caught in the wheel of life, which they call samsara, the cycle of birth and death. You do not have to come back anymore unless you choose to. And all these are within your ability to realize. If only you can cultivate sincerely with strong faith and perseverance to train your mind to have the five spiritual faculties. And the most important spiritual faculty is sati or mindfulness. Without sati, there is no light, and you cannot see anything. You are like blind. That is the reason why sati or mindfulness is most important, and is also the first factor of enlightenment. There are seven factors of enlightenment or mind state that can make you enlightened. And the first one is sati or mindfulness or awareness. That's why without sati, you cannot move on to have the second factor of enlightenment, which is Dhamma Vichaya or Dhamma investigation or investigation of the Dhamma. Investigate into everything that the Buddha has taught us. All his teaching is called the Dhamma. So when you investigate into his Dhamma and realize that it's spent up to investigation, you will have so much joy and confidence in him. Then your faith in him becomes unshakable. That is how after you have sati and you do the Dhamma investigation, that is stand up to investigation, your faith will become so strong and unshakable. Then there is this joy leading to virya or spiritual zeal, which is the third factor of enlightenment arising. Immediately, there is this strong passion and tenacity to go this way. This is how virya, which is the third factor of enlightenment, comes to be. Then when virya arises, sati will follow. That is how the mind develops calmness and peacefulness within, leading to the arising of the spiritual joy or piti, which is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then you will feel a lot of piti in your mind because the virya will drive you to develop sati or mindfulness. And when you are continuously mindful without thought, this piti or spiritual joy, stroke rupture, will arise naturally, then you will go on to experience sukhang, which is spiritual bliss. If you don't cling and attach to this sukhang, then it will become paucity, which is tranquility or stillness of mind, the fifth enlightenment factor. Then when your paucity becomes very stable, it will accumulate into samadhi, which is the sixth factor enlightenment. A mind with samadhi is collected and unwavering. And when you have sati and samadhi, you will see things as they are, because there is clarity. Then wisdom will arise. When you have wisdom, you are no longer gullible. And you will no longer react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And because of that, your mind has equanimity or upeka, which is the last factor of enlightenment. This is how you develop the seven factors of enlightenment, leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. This is how you can develop the understanding. That is why questions are very important. If you do not ask, there is no condition for me to explain. I realized after a period of sharing that it is as if some form of understanding is missing, except for a few who have developed the diligence and consistency to cultivate. The rest don't seem to know what is going on. Well, once a week you come to this class, then you go back, you forget, and you become heedless again. Then you come back, listen again. It's like it doesn't go in, because you never investigate. And you never take it serious enough to find out on your own what it is that you call meditation. What is it that the Buddha is trying to teach you and share with you out of love and compassion for you, so that you don't have to entangle your life anymore. So that suffering in this world is not necessary, and enlightenment in the here and now can be realized. That is the reason why this understanding is particularly important to you all. Yeah, it is your life. You really must understand and see this clearly. And if you miss this window, it is going to be exceedingly difficult, because this is an incredible unique window and a very rare condition to have come by. Now we can open up for meditation reporting or Q&A. Okay.
Brad Teo, yes. Brad Teo, share 一个我最近的一个experience.
So有一天早上我在
prepare 要去上班的时候，usually 我就会 看那个mini talk. So有一天早上就那个 mini talk， 它一开始就是原来是讲到那个 talk 是讲到last year 我的那个老板跟我有那个 misunderstanding 的那个 short talk。哎，你在做 explanation 的时候哦，
yeah.
我里面就一直在 vibrating， 那
yeah.
整个 talk 我就一直在 vibrating， 哎，我觉得奇怪，怎么每天早上听 talk 都没有这样的 experience， but that thing 就 that particular 的这个 talk 的时候 ，actually 我是在一面穿衣准备要去上班 ，but 这个的你那个时候的这个 explanation。我的里面就一直在 vibrating， 一直在 vibrating， 我很 stutter， 就是全身一直在 vibrating， 就是整个 explanation，
很重要那个，
对对。Then after that 哦 ，the next so the next few days 哦，很奇怪，我早上一起来的时候哦，那个这个 incident like。我的那个老板哦，他的那个 image 就 arise， then the next moment immediately 我的 anger 也跟着来了，就很奇怪的，就三天就很哦，他就一直这样子的，在早上我一 wake up 的时候他就这样子，然后就昨天早上就第三天早上六点我一 wake up 我一 conscious 的时候就这个 incident 又 arise， then 那个 anger 就 immediately 也跟着来。Then 过后我就去做这个早上的那个puja。After puja 了以后，我就在做 bowing。我就在 bow 的时候 ，bow 到一半的时候，就一个message 讲 你在 reacting to 你的 sankara。
对对。
Then after 我一做完了 bowing 了以后，我再recall， 我完全明白了。Yes， 对。其实这个事情已经过去了，但他的这个 memory， 这个 thought 还有在。
That's
right， 呀，那个 habitual tendency 在 arise 的时候，因为我 immediately 因为那个 habitual 还有在，我就一直在 reacting。
Yeah， because the way you habitually analyze and try to what they call a reason, that is the one that continue to stir your mundane mind. So when you understand that, it doesn't mean it will go off. It has to stabilize the understanding.So when it arises for you to see and witness again, you will, like you say, during the bowing, suddenly the message comes, it's from your nature, you are still reacting to your sankhara. Sankhara is your content of consciousness from your mundane mind. And that's how analysis and reasoning can trigger a problem. Because it's about right and wrong, good and bad. So that one is...pertaining to the world, the conditioned world. Conditioned world has this reality. But when you have the Dhamma, thing is just the way it is. Your boss is the boss. He's the way he is. That's why you have to have the ability to accept. If you cannot accept, you will get emotional, angry. You want to, like, how can my boss be this? How can he do like that? How come I still have fear of what he say or his decision?So this is what my daughter that day was trying to share. When you have a mark of yourself, you have a personality that you try to be or live as a standard. Then you have mark of others. Your boss shouldn't be like that. Your boss should be like that. Then you have mark of human being, living being, deluded, heedless, enlightened. All these are mark. As long as you carry the mark,it will lead to suffering. Because sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkhang. Because ultimately, it's empty. Everything is just the way it is, not so real, not what you think. Because dependent originating. So it is not a permanent unchanging entity. Not real, not what you think. If you don't exist, how can your boss exist? The five aggregate of form and mind are empty.Once they are empty, means it's non-self, leading to empty nature or existence. Whatever that arises is only for the moment. As real as it can be, it's only that moment. Split second is dead and gone, no more. So all this understanding, you must reflect, contemplate, and sometimes write it down until it's very, very clear to you. Until you no need to recall anything. Straight away, spontaneously, inside come out.Sankara anicchang, sankara dukkhang. Finish. Yeah. No more question, no more reasoning, and no more trying to know, or no more recalling Dhamma. No more. You still need to recall through memory, means not stable yet. Yeah. That's why do not be afraid of not knowing. Not knowing is a good training. Because what is there to know? All knowing is memory, knowledge.The nature, when it has the awakening, the wisdom, is always there. No need to refer to anything. No need to recall anything. You have means you have. Wisdom is like that. You need so many scrap. You don't have means you don't have. At that moment, it cannot surface. That's why people have to recall to memory or have to recall to constant contemplation and reflection. Then they remember what the Buddha say.What I say or what your teacher or guide who understands say. Then from there, it gave you the condition to understand the Dhamma. But this has not stabilized. That's why you need all this to remind you. But when it stabilized, no more. That nature straight away understand. That's why the Yoniso Manasikara is from your nature. It's not from memory. It's not a knowledge.Is from the stability or understanding, the direct seeing, especially the third turning wisdom. When it has stabilized, all this habitual tendency, all this sankhara manifestation
it ceases to have power over you because that wisdom that has dawned upon your nature has the power to awaken to it. And it is no longer deceived or deluded by the aggregates. Where you understand their universal characteristic, you understand they are dependent originating phenomena, no reality. He know you, he know me. So all the mark, all the dwelling, everything, they come from that mundane mind. When that mundane mind ceases, then your true nature that awakens through the direct seeing, the insight knowledges that arise, or the insight wisdom that arise through the direct seeing, that one is very penetrative. And that one you have to really reflect, contemplate until very stable. Then one day, any of this first, second, or third turning, or sometimes you hear two, your nature will awaken. And when your nature awakens, it becomes very profound, very deep. And there is so much joy that that understanding is permanently within your nature. And no matter what happens, it will understand spontaneously from that nature. It will prompt you. That is what Yoniso Manasikara is. Means wisdom at the moment of sense experience. But that one needs to be stabilized. If it's not stabilized, you will go through like what you have gone through. And all this is going to take a while. It depends on your own contemplative wisdom, stability of your understanding. So today, your description will help you a lot because you still been deceived by your sankhara. You are still disturbed by the sankhara. So that one is a very powerful reminder. Okay, so?
Yeah. So, after 了那个 bowing, 我在 recall 的时候, 我就, like 这一次, like 它很像一个, 讲讲一个, 一个, showing that, 来让我更了解那个 sankhara. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then 我这一次的这个 incident, 我就完全明白, 哦, 原来, 哇, 这个 sankhara, 不然就真的不容易。
Yeah, because the habitual tendency that you have accumulated over the aeons and the millennium, it will not be rooted out so fast because it has been there, the conditioning. It's just like China, the 文化, the culture, is already in our psyche, our consciousness for so many millennium, even the last 5,000 years of evolution. And that one is very strong because it's the DNA conditioning and the karmic, everything. So habitual tendency, even the Ciji's Abbess, Ceyhen Pasi, she also realized that it's not easy to root out. That's why she keep on repeating that sentence, habitual tendency. Because she know it's not easy to root out. So that one take a while. That one, the wisdom must be very stable. So don't worry, what you are going through is very normal and it's a good sign. So this one, hopefully, it can lead to the stability of understanding and allow you to root it out once and for all. Then later on, this understanding become more and more stable. Then not only to this incident of your boss, any sankhara activity, you will understand. You will reach a stage where you know sankara anicang, sankara dukkang, sankara anatta. No need to think anymore. Because sankara is like the analogy that the Buddha gave, the banana stem. Layer after layer you peel means whatever sankara thinking or activity that you arise, at the core of it is empty, no reality. Then why do you go and think? Why do you go and analyze? Why do you want to reason? All this is mundane activity, mundane mind, mundane delusion. And all this comes from knowledge. Well, the knowledge always tell you the Dhamma must be correct, right and wrong. I must develop the right understanding, the right Dhamma. Yes, when you cultivate in the mundane environment, you have right and wrong. But when you want to awaken, you have to transcend duality. You have to transcend right and wrong. You don't analyze anymore. That's why towards the end, it's not about right and wrong. It's not trying to know. It just have faith. Develop the sincerity, then persevere and do. Then when the nature awakens, the wisdom trigger off, he understands. When he understand, no more question. So without wisdom, you cannot liberate. That's why no amount of analysis or reasoning can free that mind. So this understanding will dawn upon you. So, salute to you.
Yeah, 就过后我再 contemplate, 我就了解, 因为这一次的这个 incident, 让我更清楚那个什么是那个 Sankara, 它只不过是一个那个 thought 的 memory, 是一个 image, 然后过后我就在 contemplate 的时候, 哦, 我很像 like, 突然间我就明白了, 然后过后就 end up, 就我就, 哦, 然后我自己里面就想, 哦, 这个, 啊, Sankara Anicang, Sankara Tukang, Sankara Anatta, 我就完全整个人就明白哦，这个 Sankara, but others 说，哇，这个 Sankara 它就很像一个 delusion 这样，它就每一天在那边玩那种 image 的 game。 那么我们如果没有 understanding， 没有这个 mindfulness 的话，哇，你就给它哦，真的是很 real， 你就在里面的一些 entangle entangle。 对对对对对。
Believe you, it will delude you because 你的习惯啊，那个 habitual tendency 啊。
Yeah。
Human being like to analyze, like to reason. 就好像你 after 拉用回来，你记得吗？你整天问我 ，But reality 为什么这样？为什么这样 ？All this I told you is from the thought. You are trying to reason, trying to analyze. Because the wisdom that arise, no more question. The moment you understand, no more question. Finish. But when before you really have the understanding, you got a lot of question. That is exactly what I told you all earlier on, especially Yun Chan in the early days. Because the question comes from the thought, the mundane mind, the ego that still has delusion. The one that has awakened with the wisdom, there is no question. Because the reality is suchness, ta-ta-ta, the isness of thing. Thing is just the way it is. Finish. There is no two way about it. It's just that reality. Everything is just that reality within the moment, suchness. 明白吗?
Yeah.
一切有违法吗? You go and analyze for what? 如梦幻泡影吗? Then it's like a deal and a lightning flash. 如露一如电. 应作如是观, you have to contemplate it such. So when you contemplate its side, then you realize Sankara is you wafa, means conditioned Dhamma. Conditioned Dhamma is always like that. Unreal, impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self. You have to repeat that four stanza, that Diamond Sutta, the four stanza. That one is very powerful. Then the Kuan Yin's teaching, the three hallmark. No thought you have gone beyond, you know what it is. Now you have to go after no mark. No mark is very important, like my daughter that day tried to explain to Tammy, I think. It's very important. You have living beings or cultivator, they hold on to the mark of a self very strongly. Because that Sankara habitual tendency is holding on to that self. So that one is the subtle ego. They call it before you realize beyond arahantship. Even anagami is stuck in that minor conceit. They call it mana. That mana is always there. Sorry. My daughter told me answer to Polian. Yeah, sorry, not Tammy's question. It was Polian's question. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Correction there. Minor correction. Okay. So.
Yeah. 那我过后，我就是昨天的 understanding 了过后，真的是当你一了解了，你就没有那个啊，在很多的问题了，因为它只不过是一个 understanding。然后今天就那个mind也没有在那个 thought 也不会去 arise 了这个是给我一个来很像给我一个go through 一个 understanding。
A form of test. It's a form of test. It's still testing you. As long as you don't break free, the test will continue until it's resolved. Once you break free, dissolve, the test will stop. Otherwise, it will keep on come back and test you. It will show it to you. You will know that you are still stuck. That's why you must have that wisdom to reflect, to contemplate, and see all the signs. Like what you came to realize, how come these things still come in and affect you? Like you say, that message from your nature there, like vibrating, very fine, means it's trying to tell you something. You need to root that out. Then when you are bowing, mindful, aware, you don't try to know, then the answer come out from that nature. You still get yourself entangled with the sankhara. So that message is very important. That straight away you can link, because you know you actually have the understanding, but it has not stabilized. So you need all this condition for you to understand, then trigger off, then you go into it, reflect, contemplate, and go deep into it. Because when you reflect and contemplate, you have to connect to other Dhamma. Like each year you wait for Ru Meng Huan Pao Ying, that four stanza from Diamond Sutta is very powerful, very important. Then later on, you will evolve your own understanding. Like when I hear this type of truth, even from my teacher, it's only mighty nature rolling by, no reality, which is the same as what the Buddha teach. Dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. And everything is just the way it is. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So this is nature's law. That's why my teacher Ajayantra say, only mighty nature rolling by. The meaning become very, very clear to me. Yeah, everything is just the way it is. The isness of things, suchness. That's why I share with you all this in the early days, but most of you are not ready to pick it up. Then later on when you all pick it up, it will make your wisdom very, very established, very polished. And all this, like Yoni So Manasakara, it just trigger off. Only mighty nature rolling by. No reality. He no you, he no me, no ma, nothing. All, everything is understood. The isness of thing. Thing is just the way it is. Can't be otherwise. But whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So the Buddha taught it this way. So if the causes and conditions is established, things will have to be such. Cannot be any other way. If you want things your way, you suffer. But that is not nature's way. So you start to understand nature's condition. Everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. He no you, he no me. Everything is just suchness. Ta-ta-ta. The way things are. Finish. Yeah. So this contemplative understanding, stability of it is very powerful until the whole thing become a very complete understanding, then it keep on arising. Then from that nature, it just spontaneously arise. Like no need to think on. The moment you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel, or even when you are trying to rest, whatever movement, you will know. You will understand. Then you will be able to be at peace with all conditions. No matter what happens, you will be able to be at peace. And there is no fear, no more. No more worry, no more anxiety. The mind is like completely different. Then sometimes it can smile too. No matter how, what happened, very severe thing happened, it just stay there, silent, and you just understand that it can just be the way it is and smile, because that nature understands no reality.
He know you, he know me, no mark, nothing. So this is how Dhamma can become very beautiful, very wonderful, and very powerful. So good to understand that you are picking all this up, and from here on, you will become more and more beautiful. Salute to you.
Yeah, Baratu, 谢谢你刚才的teaching sharing. 因为昨天我过后我 contemplate 的时候，所有的那种basic 的 essential dharma 我能够understand through 这个 sankara. But 刚才你 share 的那个no mark 跟那个金刚经 的那个 four stanza 让我有更 deeper, yeah, 更 deeper 的那个 understanding, 更 deeper 的 aspect 去 understand 这整个 的 conditions.
对，
谢谢 Baratun,
the weather is so rain, very loud already. They also rejoice. Your place there, I don't know whether got rain. My side here suddenly, when I was answering you, the thunder, everything, then now suddenly rejoicing, very heavy downpour.
我这里是一直在打雷，还没有下雨。 Yeah, going to.
They all really rejoice. Because this type of teaching is difficult to come by. And it's very beautiful. Salute to you.
Yeah, Margil, 这种的 cultivation 真的是很不容易啊。我都跟你讲了。这种的 cultivation, 这种的 penetration 真的是很不容易。 这一次的这个Sankara，Margil你都知道，我一直给 Sankara 来抓走。因为你要
analyze，你要知道，你 very fond of reasoning， 为什么这样？ 为什么这样？我记得你以前 after 来用回来啊 ，initially you thought you understand，then later on，那个 sankara 又回来，through the back door，then 你又在 analyze，then 你 because what you have realized is the complete opposite of what the mundane mind is doing. That's why the reasoning cannot understand one.
对。
And the reasoning is like in conflict one. Why like that? How come like that? Still got question. Right and wrong. 还有老板啊, 还有什么啊, 你的 client 啊, 你的 friend 啊, 你的 colleague 啊, 这个全部都是 mark 来的。 Even the mark of life, the mark of Dhamma is a mark. The three type of mark, you know that. No mark of a self cultivating. That is the most important. You have to break that first. Then no mark of others. That one also easy. But the third one, no mark of life, no mark of existence, Dhamma, everything. These are mark. You hold on to Dhamma, mark. You hold on to the teaching, it's a mark. You hold on to life, how can existence be like that? How can living being be like that? It's still a mark. That's why no mark. 无相. That one you need a lot of wisdom. Because that is beyond the silent mind, beyond the true nature's understanding. That's why you have to realize that no mark, the second hallmark, is very powerful. But the sequence of cultivation is such, not until you penetrate no mark, you cannot penetrate no dwelling. That no dwelling, the mundane mind must collapse. Then only you can understand what is dwelling. Wherever the mundane mind is there, there is dwelling. You dwell there already. So when you reach the third stage, when your mundane mind collapses, everything is specific phenomenal awareness and spacious awareness without a center. Means it don't hold already. It don't dwell already. It can understand. Finish. It will not go and reason why like that. Ayo, how come like that? How come the world is like that? How come planet is like that? How come the universe is like that? How come four pusa not doing anything? All this is mark. So you will come to the understanding. Then when that thing becomes very clear, then you realize your mind, not only non-grasping, is non-dwelling. It doesn't hold. Where there is no mark for you to hold, it doesn't really arise anymore. And that true nature just shine forth, and it does not dwell. It's just aware, aware, aware. And it's spacious awareness. without a center, the oneness, then when you need to live life with the senses, you need to arise a specific phenomenal awareness to understand what is going on. Otherwise, you cannot live life. That's why specific phenomenal awareness is important. Then you want to share, you want to teach, you have to come back to the mundane Dhamma to share. Then when you share, you explain, just like what I explained to you all, even the very basic understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, today's topic, is not easy. A lot of cultivators still don't understand what I teach. But this is very basic. To meditate is to train the mind to be heedful, because Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 is very clear. So heedfulness, that is how you start. And if you don't train your mind to be aware, how can it be stabilized to be ever mindful? Then without the mind that is ever mindful, how can it cultivate? Noble Eightfold Path, the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why you need to be heedful, stand a chance to awaken. So all this understanding is not there. So now you start to see, yeah? Then the higher teaching, the higher training, the meditative understanding, like you all go through the stages, now you start to understand. Because cultivation is not what people think. It's not about knowledge. It's not about Dhamma words. The stages of transformation, if you don't go through, you cannot understand. What is sati also you don't, people don't understand. The silent mind. But they haven't realized it. And what is that true mind, that true nature? They don't understand. So how to teach them about direct seeing, the silent mind, then how to teach them to connect to the nature, the gateway and all those things, and the transformation, the first turning, second turning, third turning, wisdom, the 10th step of the Avijja Sutta, the essential Dhamma, how they are linked, how they are connected. The whole of the teaching is like missing, completely missing. That's why I came out to share. I find it so difficult to teach. Even this first book, 2013, I mean, that time we were at Suyan's house. I've been teaching them since 2009, I think. 2008, towards the end of 2008 and 2009. Even after 4 years only, we start to dwell into that meditation thing more seriously, because there are more and more people attending the class. Then I asked them to do the transcript, because I know this is very important. So that's why somebody did it. Then the part two also I say is important. Then somebody else did it too. So these two I want to go through again. So now after 8 years, even Susan realized it's a good revision. Because all the focus that bring you back to the training of the meditation has to be understood before people can progress. Otherwise, they will be trapped and become gullible. Method, technique, object of meditation, all the Dhamma words, jhana, jnana, all that. Those has nothing to do with the real meditation. The real meditation is apamada, heedfulness. The heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the devil. And this one, nobody got it. A lot of people don't understand. Okay, so...
Sadhu Bharatiyo.
Oh, Li Ching got a question. Okay, we go to Li Ching. Li Ching is Tammy's friend, I was told. Li Ching, are you there?
Yes. Thank you, Brother Teo. I was actually listening to Understanding Five Aggregates, Form and Mind.
Oh, okay.
where the simile about feeling, which is a water bubble.
Yeah.
All this banana, sankhara is like banana trunk consciousness.
Sanya is like a mirage.
It's a mirage.
Yeah.
And then further on,
the magician, the vijnana, consciousness is like a great magician.
Yeah, and then they are actually conditioned arising entity.
Yes.
So, and then suddenly the mind sort of like click. You know, it's like understood. It's like, I mean, because you know, you cannot just hear, because there's no one.
Sadhu to you. Yeah, you can develop the understanding is the beginning of training, very, very important, very useful.
Yeah, because we need three things temple in contact, which is consciousness, hearing consciousness, the ear, and the sound. So
the sense data,
the sense data.
So, yeah, also, then you need one more, the life form. So the mind must make contact. Then you must have an organ. Then you must have sense data for that hearing consciousness to arise. So when it arrives, it's just like the physics experiment.
Yeah.
You on the switch, the light bulb lights up. Lighting up means you become conscious of what you see or what you hear.
So actually no one.
There is no one. You don't need a God to make you see, understand? It's just law.
So there's actually no one.
Yeah. He know you, he know me. That's why I share with you all, feeling come and go, you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? True or not?
Yeah.
If feeling is you, you will die when the feeling changes.
So I guess because I just, that time I've just finished a meditation, and just listen, it sort of click.
Okay. Yeah, it will bring forth more and more conditions for you to understand more. Because this style of sharing is very different from ordinary Dhamma. Ordinary Dhamma is about the Dhamma knowledge and the world. This one is about cultivation. You go into life itself. You develop awareness through your own understanding. Because when your awareness is there, you're aware, it's no more a knowledge. You see it, then you understand it. So what you are going through is the hearing part. The hearing part is some form of contemporary wisdom, which is the first turning followed by the initial second turning. Let you understand a bit. But you need to silence your mind to understand what sati is before you can progress further. You have to understand what that silence is.
Okay.
The stability of mindfulness is established. So today's sharing on mindfulness leading to heedfulness is very important. You have to go back and listen to it and read through that soft body. It will help you.
Yeah, that's why I think today's session, a lot of things that I have to go through.
Yeah, you need to digest. Well, you are new. I was told by Tammy just now, I saw the message. I told Tammy, no problem. I saw your team meeting.
Most of the time, I don't have a direct teacher to,
Yeah, you can go to the website, you can attend our classes. Then you make do with whatever that is helpful, useful. Then learn whatever you can is going to help you a lot.
Because like this morning, I think there was some negative thought, but the mind actually, I was like, hey, what happened? Usually the mind react, but then...
Yeah.
So like,
when you have some form of understanding, you become less reactive because you know it's only a thought. Sankara. How come it has power over you and make you miserable and unhappy? So that is illusion. It's only a thought. Can you see?
Yes.
It's only a thinking. How can thinking make a person miserable?
Yeah, because it arises and ceases anyway.
No reality. So thoughts come and go.
Yeah.
How come it has power over you? Who gives it power? Because you attach to that thought. You give meaning to that wrong thought. So that wrong thought condition you into emotion, stir your mind. You become unhappy. You become fearful.
If the sati is on time, is at the moment the sati is there, then you can see it, but it's not.
the sati is there, you have to be very stable, otherwise you cannot be there. But sati alone doesn't help you. Sati is to develop the meditative understanding for you to arise the wisdom. If the wisdom is not there, that you need to manasikara is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. If it's not there, it cannot help you.
Yeah.
If the issue cut at feeling, cut at whatever sense experience, it cannot be done without wisdom. Because that knowledge is the thought telling you. The thought that tell you to do all this is a thought. It is not the nature, the true mind. So that is not wisdom, that is knowledge. That's why knowledge cannot free. Knowledge bind. So people gullibly go and try to practice letting go.
No, that's cannot.
Not the thought. Who let go? The thought say, I want to let go. But thought is egoic and deluded. How can he let go? You need wisdom. When you have wisdom, you saw it through your awareness, you realize this is suffering, you will not touch it, isn't it? If you don't touch it, what is there to let go? You let go. It's only the thought that is deluded. Try to practice letting go. Wow, the thunder very loud.
Okay.
So hopefully you can understand, huh?
I have to go through all these notes.
Yeah. You take a while. It takes some time. Don't worry, anything. It's still a very good time, huh? Salute to you. And we welcome you to join us in the share. So thank you for your whatever sharing and contribution today, huh?